Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, as we're slowly working our way through this first chapter. We are considering verses 9 through 14, which I've called the pursuit of godliness. Our focus this morning will be our deliverance in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When the Superstorm Sandy struck the coast of New York, New Jersey, and parts of New England, millions of people were plunged into darkness. The powerful winds blew down trees, caused transformers to explode, and power lines to come down. All of this knocked out electric power along the Jersey coast, lower Manhattan, Staten Island, and parts of Long Island. And by the way, I got a call from one of the men from that Staten Island church, Tom, and to all the other deacons, and how much they appreciated the help that we gave them. So I just wanted to pass that along. It has been weeks since the storm hit, yet I understand there are still some people who are still in the dark. Now, because electrical power is such a part of our existence, we take it for granted. And what we take for granted, we don't always fully appreciate. But all that changes when the light comes back on. This is a bit of an exaggeration, but to me, it's like when the power comes up back on, it's like being transferred into another dimension. Even though we were fortunate in that our lights were only off for one day, when they did come on, I remember saying, "Praise the Lord." It is then when you're reminded what it's like to be in the dark that you learn to appreciate electricity and the light that comes along with it. Before we were saved, we were in the dark. We were in spiritual darkness. In fact, the text that I want us to consider this morning tells us that we're in the power of darkness. We were in a domain, a kingdom of spiritual darkness. And apart from the power and grace of the Lord, there was no hope of rescue. As Paul says in Ephesians, we were without hope and without God in the world. But praise God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and that He came to our rescue. Look at the text. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In hopes of helping us to appreciate this aspect of our salvation, I want to expound this text by considering what it was really like when we are under the power of darkness and the indescribable glory of being taken out of that state of spiritual darkness and transferred or conveyed into a new dimension from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ, who was greatly loved by God the Father. Your outline shows you where we have been in considering the pursuit of godliness. We saw the pursuit of godliness is involved being controlled by the knowledge of God's will in verse 9. The pursuit of godliness involves a sanctified determination to live our lives according to God's will, verses 10 and 11. We are presently considering verses 12 through 14. The pursuit of godliness involves being thankful for what God has done for us. Now, as we come again to this portion of Paul's prayer, we saw the shift of focus. The first part of the prayer had to do with asking God for grace and strength so that the believers at Colossae, and even us, would live in a way that are well-pleasing unto Him. But in the text that we began to consider 2 weeks ago, the focus shifts from asking God to thanking God. Thanking God for all the great things He has done for us, thanking Him for His incredible goodness, and a superabundant mercy to us. Some of those glorious benefits are set forth in verses 12 through 14. You might want to highlight these words in these three verses. Qualified, verse 12. Delivered, verse 13. Redeemed and forgiven in verse 14. Having considered the fact that he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light in verse 12, in our last message, I want to focus on the matter of our deliverance. In doing so, Paul begins to show us how the Lord qualified us to be partakers of this inheritance. Verse 13 again, look at it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And the word delivered carries with it the idea of being rescued. He's speaking of God the Father, delivered us, rescued us from the power of darkness. And the word power means the authority or the ruling power. This refers to the dominion of Satan and his vast demonic hordes, a dominion which exercised tyrannical control over this present world, everything in it, and every unbeliever in it. As believers, we are to continually fight against this evil system, but before we were saved, we were under the dominion and control of this evil system. To underscore this evil system, Paul calls it the power of darkness. Now, when darkness is used in this sense, it speaks of moral and spiritual darkness. It is moral darkness because sin, evil of every kind, wickedness, vileness, immeasurable proportions, permeates, saturates, totally dominates this evil system. It is spiritual darkness because it's totally absent of any spiritual light, any spiritual knowledge, and spiritual understanding. It is moral and spiritual darkness because it reflects the character of the spiritual powers that dominate this spiritual darkness. Satan and his demonic hordes are pure evil. They are the embodiment of all that is vile and wicked. There's no goodness with Satan. There's no love. There's no mercy. There's no kindness. There's no righteousness, no integrity, no truth, no decency, no virtue in this evil system. This is clearly spelled out in the text that we considered last Sunday night. Go over there, but please. Go back to Romans chapter 1. And we showed how a society collapses in on itself. And we believe that's where we are as a nation, unless the Lord intervenes. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm just going to go to the last gasp to a society. When a society decides it does not want, it wants to purge God from its national conscience, God will totally give them over to a debased, depraved mind and allow wickedness to run rampant through that society, and no society can stand up under this kind of wickedness. Look verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God under knowledge, that's the United States, we're trying to purge God out of our national conscience, God gave them over to a debased or depraved mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters. Look at this. Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but they approve those who practice them. That's a good description of the power of darkness. And as we saw in there, this dominion of darkness hates God, hates Christ, and hates the followers of Christ. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know to hate me before it hated you. He said, he who hates me, meaning himself, hates my Father also. Every unbeliever is under the power of darkness. Before we were saved, we were under the power of darkness. We were slaves to the rulers of the darkness of this age. So that we better appreciate the fact that God the Father delivered us from the powers of darkness, I want to step out of the text. And very quickly, I think it's very quickly, pull various texts of Scripture together to give us some understanding of what we were delivered from so that we appreciate it more. Just like when we were in the dark and when the lights came on, we really learned to appreciate that light because we remembered what it was like trying to function with no electricity. First of all, our lives were under the complete control of this evil system. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, look at this, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, that's the way you lived your life, or you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So we saw the way we lived our lives. We lived in spiritual ignorance. Go over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their minds, notice now, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling, in other words, they have no conscience any longer, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. We were kept blind by the truth of the gospel of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're deceived by false teachers, where Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that even Satan is able to transform himself into an angel of light. Jesus says we loved being in that state. Before our conscience was awakened, we loved being in that state. He says, oh, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We were without hope and without God in this present world. And if we had not been rescued, we would have been without hope and without God for all of eternity. The ultimate end of the power of darkness in our text is hell. Satan, along with all of his demons, as well as those who have not and will not be delivered from the power of darkness, will be judged and cast in what the Scriptures call outer darkness. Jesus said in the parable in Matthew 25, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Peter speaks of the blackness of darkness. Jude speaks of the blackness of darkness. There is no expanded teaching on the phrase outer darkness or blackness of darkness in Scripture, but it's obvious that, among other things, it means to live in a state of total, perpetual obscurity where extreme anguish, utter despair, and hopelessness will be experienced. Jesus said, cast them in an outer darkness. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Along with the indescribable pain and suffering from the fires of hell, there will be the horror of living in complete and total darkness. A darkness that is so dense that it cannot hardly be described. Even the Holy Spirit, in trying to describe it, is forced to be redundant. He calls it the blackness of darkness. Now, wait a minute. Black is dark and dark is black. But that's the way it is. He's trying to communicate something that's beyond our ability to grasp. It will not only be a place of indescribable pain and suffering from the fires of hell, but also extreme anguish, utter despair and hopelessness, and the blackness of darkness from which there will be no end. There's no hope of escape ever. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? 2 Peter 2:17. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Jude 1:13. But praise our Lord and Heavenly Father, He delivered us from all of that. We give thanks to the Father because He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Doesn't that help you better appreciate that deliverance once you see what that darkness was? Delivered is the tense of the verb. It means He delivered us once for all, and we never need to be delivered again. But look at the text. It doesn't end there. He didn't just deliver us. He transferred us someplace else. Look at the text. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The word conveyed means transferred. And the way it's used in the New Testament is the same way we use it. So-and-so got transferred from this town to that town, or this job to that job. It means exactly the same thing. But notice, we are not transferring ourselves. This is all of God's grace. Look at the text. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He did it all. This is an act of God's sovereign grace. We had been under the power of darkness. We have been under Satan's dominion, but no longer. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, conveyed, transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And as the song goes, and it's all because of God's amazing grace. God the Father did not just take us out of the devil's kingdom, but He brought us into His own kingdom. When we were saved, we were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are in a new kingdom, we are subject to new laws and rules for living. The blessed assurance that we have been delivered from the power of sin and of Satan is one of the greatest blessings we can have, and yet some believers miss that. Some are praying, oh, the Lord, deliver us from the power of sin. Deliver us from the power of the devil. He's already done that. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of Love. Instead of seeking freedom from these things, we need to learn to live in that freedom that we've already have been given by the Lord, like it says in Romans 6. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you delivered, having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Thank God we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We no longer walk according to the course of this world. We no longer walk according to the prince and power of the air or that spirit that works in what we were one time called the sons of disobedience. We have a new ruler because we were under the domain of the devil. He had no love for us, but Christ's love for us passes knowledge. Satan used us to perpetuate his wicked schemes. Christ uses us to perform works of righteousness. Satan's desire is that we dishonor the name of the Lord. Our Lord's desire is that we glorify the name of the Lord. The devil wants every one of us to live our lives in spiritual darkness, but the Lord wants us to walk in the light as he is in the light. The devil is not the least bit concerned about your having peace or joy, but Christ is our peace and Christ is our joy. Amen. In the presence of Satan and all his demonic hordes will be indescribable fear and horror forevermore. But in the Lord's presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Satan's greatest desire is to drag as many poor, deceived souls as possible down into the lake of fire with him. But our Lord's desire, and it's found in his prayer in John 17, is that all that the Father has given him may be with him where he is, that we may perceive his glory. Let me give a brief summation. William Barclay, in his commentary, sums everything up this way. It's sort of a rehearsal of everything I went over. He says, it means a transfer from darkness to light. Without God, men grope and stumble as if walking in the dark. They know not what they do. They know not where they are going. Life is lived in the shadows of doubt and the darkness of ignorance. It means a transference from bondage to freedom in Christ. It was redemption, and that was what the Lord used for the emancipation of the slaves and for buying back of something which was the power of someone else. Without God, men are slaves in their fears to their sins and slaves to their own helplessness. In Christ Jesus, there is complete liberation. It means a transference from condemnation to forgiveness. Man in his sin deserves nothing but the condemnation of God, but through the work of Jesus Christ, he discovers God's love and forgiveness. He knows now that he's no longer condemned criminal at God's judgment seat, but a son of whom on the way home is always open. It means a transference from the power of Satan to the power of God. Through Jesus Christ, man is liberated from the grip of Satan and is able to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, just as an earthly conqueror transferred the citizens of a land he had conquered to a new land. So God, in his triumphant love, transfers men from the realm of sin and darkness into the realm of holiness and light. It means being freed from the feeling of being unwanted. That is one of the most devastating feelings any human can experience. The feeling that nobody cares, nobody wants, nobody loves. That is forever rendered untrue by the work of Christ Jesus, who has brought us into the kingdom and will share the love of the Father. Remember what Jesus says, God the Father loves us as much as he loves his own Son. The Son loves us as much as he loves his own Father. All that is in John 17. The little hymn goes, near, so very near to God, if near I could not be, the love in which he loves his Son, such is his love for me. Here's where we really, truly appreciate sovereign election. We didn't get ourselves, we didn't deliver ourselves out of bondage, out of darkness. We couldn't do it. We're trapped. He solemnly chose to deliver us. Like Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, but you were chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I don't even want to imagine where I would be or what I would be if the Lord had not called me out of that darkness, had not transferred me out of that power of darkness and conveyed me into the kingdom of his love, son of his love. But I am so thankful he did. I am so thankful he did. And let me say that he will deliver any of you in this place this morning who are still under the power of darkness. He does that through a saving response to the gospel. When Paul stood before Felix Agrippa, giving his testimony, one part of his testimony is what God had said to him on the road to Damascus. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Amen. If you're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that you're under the power of darkness, God will rescue for you from that. If you recognize your need, that you're a sinner, you can't do anything about it. Christ has done it all for you on the cross. And if you call on the name of the Lord to save you, He will do that. And he will deliver you out of that power of darkness and put you over in the kingdom of the Son of his love. Praise God. What a glorious Savior we have. Let's close with a word of prayer. We didn't realize the terrible state we were in before we were saved, Lord. Those things I read earlier about what it's like to be under the power of darkness seems foreign to us because it didn't seem real. But when you show us from your perspective, then we realize how helpless and hopeless we were. But it also hopefully helps us to appreciate what you have done for us in taking us out of that awful spiritual state and transferring us, conveying us into the Son of your, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you for that. May we go from this place praising you for that. And for those who may be here without Christ, open their eyes that they may see their need. And in simple faith, may they cry out to you to save them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.